You know what's on everyone's wish list this year?
Oh, definitely the Bartesian cocktail maker.
It's like having a bartender who never judges your drink order.
Exactly. Just pop in a capsule, press a button, boom. Old-fashioned, margarita, espresso martini.
Over 60 bar quality cocktails. Zero effort.
And right now, you can save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers.
Wait, 150?
Yep, up to $150 off. It's the best deal of the season.
Okay, but seriously, how did we ever host before Bartesian?
Last time your kitchen looked like a crime scene. Sticky counters, fruit wedges everywhere.
Yeah, this year, no measuring tools, no mess, just perfect cocktails.
This year, I'm gifting one to my brother.
And myself, for research purposes.
Make the holidays easier and happier with Bartesian. Mix over 60 premium cocktails at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. But hurry, this Black Friday and Cyber Monday offer ends December 2nd. Get yours now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's
is it
so
not
fun.
Delivering? Is it not delivering it's every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow, exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Let's kick it off on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission Wednesday. And we got a lot of interesting topics to hit, which include MVP. MVP. That is Joel Embiid. Now, he got his award, and it looks like it was in an absolute landslide over Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And maybe rightfully so. It was his turn. It was his time, and he got it. MVP Joel Embiid, well-deserved for the Philadelphia 76ers star center. But also, it's not a slight on Giannis. He is fantastic. It's not a slight on Jokic, who was back-to-back MVP. He is fantastic. But the reason why we start the show with the MVP is, how about this? Word on the street, if Joel Embiid makes it through morning shoot-around fine, which I possibly believe he already did, if he makes it through pregame warm-up tonight without injury, looks like Joel Embiid is set to return back to the court in game number 2. Now, granted, the report's coming out. Okay, you want to take those sometimes with a grain of salt. You know what I was shocked at yesterday? Jimmy Butler didn't play yesterday. I was shocked by that, figuring how tough he is. But I think the organization made him sit that one out and said, hey, look, for the betterment of the team, moving forward in this series and to possibly win an NBA championship, we need you at 100% and we can't risk re-injury. We got a win on the road. Let's see what we can do in game number 2, which we're going to recap that in just a few moments. But I wouldn't be surprised if Joel Embiid does not play tonight. Now, if you are trying to read the lines, particularly here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're on the move. They were as high as 10 this morning. Right now, the Philadelphia 76ers getting only 7.5. So there's some movement there. It looks like that also, by the way, is across the board. The Boston Celtics opened up as an 8.5-point favorite, ballooned up to around 10, 10.5. Now back to 7.5 across the board. Two 17s coming in now as a total. We're going to break that game down and much, much more throughout this afternoon. But it is interesting to see some of those things coming through, like something I didn't anticipate, even the thought process of Joel Embiid coming back and playing in the basketball game tonight for game two. There were thoughts that he would try to play game three, which means that maybe it goes to game four. Or maybe Joel Embiid doesn't even make an appearance in this round versus the Boston Celtics. Now, granted, the Sixers are up 1-0 yesterday. Cashing in on my same-game parlay at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Staying away from monster tickets out here. Even though I did hit a 3-1 yesterday that I gave out on the show, which is a rebound prop, which was Josh Hart to get over 8.5, which he did. And also Kevon Looney, the rebounding machine, to get over 12.5 rebounds. He was over 20. So that was really good. That was a 3-1 price. But on these same game parlays that I'm doing on the early line, trying to stick to a formula like that 125, 130, 135 max. But today, it's even a little bit less than that, barely plus money. And that's at a, what's the exact price? Plus 104. And I'll go over exactly the three legs that I have if you did not watch the early line this morning. So nice to cash some of those in and have some fun as we whip it around and say, you know, what are we looking forward to tonight? Because there is only one NBA game. We've had as much as four NBA games on a single evening. And what's going to get your attention? Also keep in mind, Major League Baseball all the way through today, which means afternoon action, all the way up to a 9:40 first pitch between Seattle and Oakland. So the afternoon schedule, there are 5 games that will be underway before 4:10 Eastern today. The first one's going to go off in about, roughly 30 minutes here. 1:40 Eastern, that's the Mets and the Tigers, which is actually a doubleheader today. Game one of that doubleheader, the Mets are going to throw Lucchesi, the lefty, versus Wentz, the lefty, for the Tigers. Then coming back at 6:40, Max Scherzer returns back to the mound, going up against Michael Lorenzen. And a heavy favorite here for the Mets in game one at about, 160 to 170, depending on where you're shopping at. And then that game at 6:40 with Max Scherzer, they're as high as 225, it looks like. And that's at MGM. So a monster favorite for the Mets today in both of their doubleheaders. And I guess the Mets, for all intents and purposes, would like to just play baseball games as opposed to getting rained out for, it feels like, the majority of an entire week. Some other afternoon action to keep your eye on: the Philadelphia Phillies, who got absolutely stoned the last two games by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Nola's on the mound versus Stone for the Dodgers, making his major league debut today, I believe. And by the way, the Dodgers are a slight favorite at a minus 112 price. But how about this? That's not the 4 o'clock hour game that I like the most. If we're looking to cheer on from a Donnie Right Side perspective, yeah, it's probably Phillies Dodgers. If we're looking to make money on some RBI props that look like the starting lineup just came out and I'll be firing away over the commercial break, yeah, that's the Reds and the Padres. It's Moneyline, it's Wednesday. It's Donnie Right Side, and I'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Hour number one. As I tease before going to the break, we're going to get after the San Diego Padres today. I think we can make some money there and have some dinner. Some pizza money, cheesesteak money, cheeseburger money, a couple beers money. Here's what we're doing today. All right. So, Reds, Padres, last night, 2-1. Not much going on here. Padres actually lost that game. Only scored one run. Even the game got to extra innings and weren't able to do much here. If we take a look today, pitching matchups, I do like the matchup between the Cincinnati Reds, Luis Sessa, and the Padres bats here. Not a lot of the Padres bats, not all the way through where it's enough to, let's just ride out a team total, but I do think it makes some sense here if we're looking to make money. So the bets that we fired in today, two of them, Juan Soto to go over an RBI today, plus 170, and Matt Carpenter over an RBI, or an RBI or more, I should say, plus 160 here. And that was at 365. So let's take a look at why I like this and the reasoning behind it. We've done very well for the past month here in RBI props, and I think it is going to continue today. Because the simple goal is, to be honest, is to go 1-1, which means you're taking down either a plus 170 or a plus 160. You know, if it's just a $25 bet, the return would be $67.50 on Juan Soto. $25 bet would return $65 on Matt Carpenter. So, the pitcher, Luis Sessa, not very good. Some of the analytics that I like to look at here, XFIP minus, horrendous. 28 pitchers on the card today. Luis Sessa's 27th overall in XFIP minus. The best pitcher on the mound today, Logan Webb of the San Francisco Giants at a 62. Keep in mind, XFIP minus, once again, because I know a lot of you guys listen to day-to-day, but there are new people always trying to climb in and say, hey, you know what? I don't understand some of those topics, Donnie, that you talk about sometimes. And quite frankly, I was the same guy just even a couple years ago. Like, what are you guys talking about with these nonsense things? What's his ERA? What's his batting average? Enough. I don't need anything else. Not true. I'm a much, much better handicapper today than I was in 2017, just talking about Major League Baseball. Even though I won, the numbers stand out, and it's paint by numbers here from this point on. It's not to say that you're winning every game or you're going to, but the confidence level goes up because what you're seeing now translates extremely well through multiple channels, not just, oh, he has a high ERA, I don't think he's a good pitcher. XFIP minus is, again, fielding independent pitching, but also it's the underlying value of just what the pitcher does is what it means. How good is he? Forget about having Ozzie Smith at every position that can make every play and every great outfielder of all time. What does he do? Strikeouts? Does he hit too many batters? Does he walk too many batters? Fly balls, home runs? Everything goes into play. And the XFIP minus actually brings into the league average and also where you play, which means, again, simplicity. Somebody might pitch down in Miami, like Sandy Alcantara, right? Very good pitcher, but he pitches in a great, great pitcher's ballpark. Same thing with San Diego, for the most part. Same thing with San Francisco, right? Some of the bigger ballparks. But getting back to the point here is, Luis Sessa's a 130. So what does that mean in layman's terms? 100 is average for a Major League Baseball pitcher. That means that's the league average. Anything at 100 or less, 90, 80, 70, 60, that's better. And the farther you get towards zero from 100, the better your pitcher is. So again, best pitcher on today's card, the San Francisco Giants. XFIP minus for Logan Webb is a 62. That's awesome. There's actually, looks like today, 15 pitchers at 99 or less, which means they're above average pitching prospects for the season in 2023. So then that would leave 16 through 28 as pitchers that you might want to square up on. Alek Manoah is actually coming in from the Toronto Blue Jays, dead last today at a 131 XFIP minus, because he actually has decent splits, to be honest with you. And we'll probably go over these games a little bit later, but just to give you a little synopsis. His XFIP is very high. His weighted on base percentage against batters is very low. So sooner or later, what are we saying here? Something's got to give. He's due to get rocked any time now, and we'll see if that's today. But I'm not betting on that game just yet anyway, right? Luis Sessa, though, 130 here. So again, 30% higher than the league average. He's got a terrible ERA. It's close to 10. Sierra number, 6.07, which is actually the worst on the card. And that's skill interactive ERA, which means you're helping out with like fielding and stuff like that. So again, if you want to read up on that stuff, a lot of it's on FanGraphs. It is overwhelming. I'm just trying to give you guys a look at what I do. So the first thing we do each day is try to target the pitchers here. Like, we're not targeting Shane McClanahan and a 79 XFIP minus. We're not targeting Marcus Stroman with a 78 XFIP minus. We're targeting guys at least like that 115, 120, or even higher. That's where you're looking for pitchers that are getting exploded, or certainly, as we like to say, due to get exploded. Now, let's flip it over to the batting statistics here, because we already said, okay, Luis Sessa not pitching all that well this season. So then we want to have the breakdowns. And also, we're right around 30 days. We're actually just over it. For me, the perfect aspect of taking a look at a pitcher is probably closer to 60 days, because you get that, you know, bad start, good start, you get some averages, but you get 60 days of starts, which means if you're averaging, you know, let's just say 60, just to be simple, 60 days, 2 months. You probably got about 10 starts in on the worst case side, right? It's a pretty good feeling. But again, you want to limit those because late August, like, hey, man, he's really pitching well. Why aren't his numbers there? Well, he was terrible in April. Who cares if he was terrible in April if you're betting the game in August? But we're right around that sweet spot point. XFIP for Luis Sessa, terrible. We told you Sierra numbers were terrible. But the matchups between lefties and righties here for Luis Sessa, 51 batters Luis Sessa has faced from the left-hand side. Luis Sessa is a right-handed pitcher. 60 batters he's faced from the right-hand side, being a right-handed pitcher. He's bad on both ends, to be honest with you. But if I had to choose, and look at this. Let's just look at the lineup itself right now for the San Diego Padres, which did come out. I don't have an update. So it's Grisham, Tatis, Soto, Bogarts, Carpenter, and Cronenworth. Okay, so I do have, okay, Grisham is in there. So Tatis moved to the two. Soto is three. So we got three and five today. Let me just see if I have an updated number here just so I can get after, because that came out, looks like, 2 or 3 minutes ago, which we bet over the break when we first saw it. But sometimes some of these websites that I use don't get them up immediately. I'm hoping they actually did here. And they did. Good. Perfect. All right. So now we can get a good look here. Now, go lineup. Not necessarily here for the Padres. Why is that? Grisham is in the leadoff. Weighted on base percentage, 276 against right-handed pitching this year. Hasn't performed. Let's skip for the time being. 2, 3, 4, and 5. Hitter number 6, Cronenworth. 294 weighted on base percentage. That's bad. You want to have it at least a 320 to 325 or higher. Kim, 271. That's bad. Odor, 154. That's bad. Sullivan, 158. That's bad. Even though they're trying to load up on some lefties in the lineup, which I can appreciate here. But if we're trying to zero in and look at Sessa, we just told you, weighted on base percentage of lefties of 488 to right-handed batters of 410. Both of those sides really getting off on Sessa. But let's focus in. ISO power numbers completely different. From the left-hand side against Sessa, 348. Now, an ISO power number you want to look for here is 170 or higher. That's where you want to be. 180, 190, 200, and obviously 348 as a pitcher is ridiculously bad. But on the opposite side, right-handed batters going up against Sessa, a 135. So he's putting guys on base, but they're not doing a lot of extra base damage, per se, if you hear what I'm saying. But to lefties, a 488 weighted on base percentage, really bad. 348 ISO power number, really bad. So if we're looking in the lineup, we want to focus on left-handed batters. Just told you Grisham, 276 weighted on base average. He's not in there. Cronenworth, 294. He's not in there for me. Ronald Odor, 154. He's not in there for me. Sullivan in the nine hole, 158. He's not in there. Let's focus on the middle four batters, which quite frankly should all do damage. Fernando Tatis has a 229 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 363. Soto, 293 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage 440. Xander Bogaerts, 215 ISO power number, 417 weighted on base average. Carpenter, 325 ISO power number, weighted on base average 396. So if we're focusing on left-handed batters, Tatis and Bogaerts should do damage, but they are right-handed batters. So we take that focus lens out, and we're going after Juan Soto today, and also Carpenter, who line up perfectly against Luis Sessa, right in the middle of guys that should be on base. So again, the goal, obviously, to get RBI on both Soto and Carpenter. But if we just get one of the two, that's a plus money day. And you can go out and get yourself a pizza. 2-0 is the goal. 1-1. Never going to be ashamed of collecting plus money in your pocket. That's the angles that we're playing today in the Reds and the Padres. So stick with me. We're going to go over a lot of information. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's Moneyline right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. Network.
Right back out of here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Donnie Wrightside here. Tomorrow, K-Dub be back in the house with me. And away we go, and a lot of fun on Moneyline. But if you want to call in, you got some hot topics, some plays, picks you want to have at it, come on in. 844-843-6879. Now, sometimes you got to take a look at, let's just say, what happened yesterday and how you can apply that to today. So just a quick recap. Major League Baseball-wise, didn't have any RBI props, but I actually did lose a plus 155 parlay because the Minnesota Twins couldn't beat the Chicago White Sox. I mean, come on now with that. But the NBA was very kind yesterday, and every morning on the early line, we pick a same-game parlay, which, again, for the playoffs, for the most part, we're doing these in basketball, because that's a hot topic. Not necessarily baseball, that you can't win money in baseball, because we've been doing quite well with that. It just seems a little bit more fun in the NBA. So yesterday, my same-game parlay on the early line right here on the Sports Grid Network was Bam Adebayo to get 15 points. Say, hey, how many points did he get? 15. And it wasn't one of those, to be honest, where he had 15 coming into the fourth quarter. It's like he didn't even sweat it. Like, final couple minutes of that game, he was stuck on 13. I said, you can't do this to me, Bam. And he got it. 15-plus points. Love it. Thank you. Jalen Brunson, who scored 30 yesterday. I didn't climb the ladder with him. Just need him to get 20 points. He got that. Gabe Vincent to make 2 3-point shots. He did that fairly easily as well. I believe he ended up shooting 12 3-point shots in the game, which was the handicap, basically, that we were going after. It wasn't a lot. It was a plus 107, but money is money, right? It was a lot of fun to watch it play out. It cashed in once again, and I'm looking forward to tonight. Another one that I've lined up, I believe, at a plus 104 that we'll talk about in just a little bit once we hit these NBA games tonight. But also yesterday, on the show, if you guys were listening in and having fun, just had a feeling yesterday. I was like, you know what? Let me just go a little bit, you know, differently. Let's go a little bit off the grid on what you typically look at when you do a same-game parlay. I picked out two players, one from each game yesterday. One from the Heat-Knicks game, one from the Lakers-Warriors. And in the Miami Heat-New York Knicks game, it was Josh Hart over 8.5 rebounds at a plus 108 price. He ended up with 11. It's like, hey, that was pretty easy. It really wasn't. He didn't get those last couple rebounds till really late in that game. Because as I was watching on my phone, you know, like 9 minutes ago, 8 minutes ago, 7, 6, 5, he still didn't have it wrapped up. And he was at 7 rebounds at that point. I believe he actually had 9 assists at the time, too. But the FanDuel Sportsbook, I got it at 8.5 at a plus 108, which I was fine with because I wanted some plus money to sort of drive up that parlay price. But I saw it was a 7.5 around game time at a minus 134 price when I had the over 8.5 at plus 108. And, it's just one rebound, right? I'm looking at that going, like, I know the way this ends. Josh Hart's going to get 8 rebounds, isn't he? But he didn't, so it worked out, played perfectly there. Over 8.5, he gets 11. That puts that first leg in at plus 108. Kevon Looney, second game. Then you're saying to yourself, well, he's running roughshod, right, over the Sacramento Kings. They're not that physical down low, but he's getting like 20 rebounds a game. So you would think flipping over to the Los Angeles Lakers, hey, man, Anthony Davis got a couple bigs down there. He's just not going to be able to run wild. I said, you know, I'm going to trust the numbers. So Kevon Looney, again, I wasn't even playing full juice. 12.5 rebounds, which means he needed 13 rebounds to catch this. At a minus 104, smoked it, man. 23 rebounds for Kevon Looney yesterday. So that was a plus 308. Simple Mac quarter unit on there, paid back $102. That was awesome. So it was a nice little winning day yesterday that we can flip forward over to today. Now, before we actually get into the games, I just wanted to let you know how it played out there betting-wise. Worked to our favor, and I got a nice same-game parlay lined up for tonight. But did you see yesterday the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat? As we were on the air, again, for the early line and also money line in the afternoon, I even did Gabe's show last night, Game Time Decisions, which just before I went on that show, it was announced that Jimmy Butler was out. Now, you guys heard me yesterday morning and also in the afternoon saying to myself, the Knicks are going to win this basketball game, right? I really felt that. And if you're looking at whatever the lines that you were getting, 5.5, 6, because it ended at 6. But as I was doing Game Time Decisions yesterday with Gabe and Cam, the line blasted up to 8.5 and 9s. And I said to myself, we've seen this play out before. Superstar player sitting out, a la Joel Embiid, getting close to 10 points. No way you can win this game. I said, you know what, I'm going to trust the Heat. Now, granted, I didn't bet this game. But you're asking, like, hey, which way are you going today? Give me your opinion. I thought the Knicks would win, but the Heat would cover. But as the day went on and we saw Jimmy Butler was not playing, I said, boy, man, I like the Heat even more. Not necessarily to pull the upset, but if you're going to give me 8.5 and 9 points, I'll go that direction. And for quite frankly, it felt like 3/4 of that game, the Miami Heat had the lead, which was really impressive. No Jimmy Butler, no Victor Oladipo, no Tyler Hero, on the road in the Garden, in a playoff game that the New York Knicks absolutely had to win. They played phenomenally. Look at the starting lineup yesterday. I mean, it's ridiculous for what the Miami Heat were running out there. Kevin Love, Caleb Martin, Bam Adebayo, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus. What? The bench has Kyle Lowry, who's a pretty good vet. He only had 6 points. Cody Zeller. I mean, to be honest with you, I got to look at Cody Zeller the other night shooting a free. What? Is he 70? Is Cody Zeller 70 years old? He looks the part. Highsmith played 15 minutes. Duncan Robinson, 21 minutes. They almost won this game without Jimmy Butler. That's incredible. And by the way, I do think the Miami Heat 100% made the right decision. Yes, did you want to win the game and go up 2-0? Of course you did. But I think they realized with an ankle, don't damage it any further. If he could have played, he probably would have played, which means the Miami Heat as an organization had to talk him out of it to sit him down. Jimmy Butler's a warrior. You know he wanted to go yesterday. But I think he did the right thing for the team and the organization did the right thing for Jimmy Butler. That's the right move. You're 1-1, get healthy, play on your home court, handle your business. Because you did that against the Milwaukee Bucks on your home court. You did. So maybe you can do that against the Knicks with a chance that the Miami Heat could go to the Eastern Conference Finals. My goodness. But looking at that game overall as well, you know what I did like from the Knicks? Well, number one, they won. They needed to. They had to. But number two, Julius Randle came back from an ankle injury. He played 38 minutes last night. 8 of 18 from the floor. 6 of 6 from the free throw line. 3 of 9 from 3. But look at the activity. 12 rebounds and also 8 assists. That's phenomenal. 25 total points. You're hoping Randle only gets better as the series moves on and gets even more efficient. The one guy it seems like you can get efficiency out of each and every night, though, is Jalen Brunson. 39 minutes, shot over 50% from the floor, which included 60% from three-point range. 6 of 10. Only one turnover and 30 points. R.J. Barrett also picked up 24 points there, which was great. 8 of 17, which included, again, bombs away from three-point range for him. 5 of 9. Pretty impressive. Hart, that glue guy, only 33 minutes in that game because Julius Randle did come back, so the rotations were a little bit longer than what they would have been. Quickly and Grimes also played. Quickly only got 9 minutes in that game. Grimes had 26. But Hart, again, focusing here on his rebounds, 11 of those, 10 on the defensive side. He actually had 9 assists. Very close there for a triple-double out of Josh Hart. I wonder what that would have paid yesterday. Probably would have been sensational. Really. I would have liked to see what that actually was. Was I going to bet it? No, but goodness, when you see it, and you come up just short like that, because it looked like the rebounds were actually going to come up short and not the assists, but it turned out to be the other way around, which was good because we were able to cash in some tickets. But that moves that series along now back to South Beach. And as I'm checking out here, the FanDuel Sportsbook, going to the NBA section just to get the latest lines here on the series price itself. The New York Knicks, a -102 to win that series. The Miami Heat -116. So the Heat are a favorite here. Now we're expecting in game 3 Jimmy Butler to go, right? We think he is. I think the New York Knicks still are a better basketball team than the Heat. But boy, oh boy. It's like when you say you want to put your hard-earned money down. And if Jimmy Butler is playing, does anybody want to go against the Miami Heat? Because I know I look upset because I had a Bucks ticket in my pocket, which ended up losing. Never thought it would be round one to the Miami Heat, but they did. But we're not just wiping the slate clean. Like, oh, so what? The Heat beat the Bucks in round one. So how's it going to carry over the game to series number two? Well, it does. They won game one with Jimmy Butler. My goodness, what happens if Jimmy Butler doesn't get injured in game one with his ankle? I bet you they're going back to Miami up 2-0. And all of a sudden, we're talking about the Heat, the team nobody wants to play because Jimmy Butler is a flat-out rock star? That's probably what we're talking about. Also, this game did end up going over the total, 216 combined. I think that number was around 207, 208 at game time. And most people thinking appropriately, it's like, yeah, look, where are the Miami Heat even going to score? How can the Miami Heat even get over 100? Well, they did because they were chucking up some three-point shots. Martin ended up with 22 points there for the Miami Heat. That's what you need. But still, again, very impressed with Julius Randle, 25, 12, and 8. I think that's going to go a long way here. Now, it'll be interesting to see which teams come out to play there between the Knicks and Heat in Game 3. Are we going to get a healthy and motivated Jimmy Butler in that game? How's the ankle going to respond for Julius Randle? And also keep in mind, late afternoon, like we were getting word from the bigger outlets, game time decisions on Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. They both played a lot, both put up points, and the Knicks needed every single bit of those points to get after it and pick up a W. Other side of the commercials here, we're going to get after Lakers-Warriors, my favorite series of the playoffs. Moneyline, it's Wednesday. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid app, people. Yeah, don't get confiscated. Don't get anything confiscated in jail. Just enjoy your sports book app. Excuse me, your Sports Grid app. Have some fun with it. Get all the latest updates and much, much more. It's the only way to go about your business. One-stop shop there. Get the alerts right to your phone. Oh, look, Jimmy Butler's out. Beep, beep, beep. Your phone gets the notification, and you're in the know. That's what we do here at the Sports Grid Network. Keep you in the know. Now, keeping people in the know, I think we have to at this point. Lakers-Warriors. Did you know this series started? I did. Most people did that are listening to the radio show, of course. How about the common man that lives on the East Coast? Do they know? Because the game started at 10 o'clock last night? Stop it. Why are we doing this? And look, I'm not going to old man yell cloud. I'm going to pull it together here. But I'm just going to leave it at this. I would like to watch the Lakers-Warriors series, and I can't right now. I just can't. And it's a shame. So I have to live vicariously through Twitter, through TV, through updates, and through callers here, because the Lakers are a really good basketball team. And I want to start this off before we even recap what happened last night between Lakers-Warriors, that I might rue the day where a 22-1 ticket was on the Lakers the day before the playoffs started at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And I said, you know what? Let that one go. So the only one I bet that day was the Phoenix Suns, who look terrible right now and are injured. A couple days later, I saw the Miami Heat beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis got injured, and I said, now's the time to jump in. Because there's no way that the Bucks are going to lose to this team. And they did. But the Los Angeles Lakers won their play-in game, then went in six games and beat the Memphis Grizzlies, and then in game one, handled the Golden State Warriors 117-112. They looked good last night for a large portion of that game. Anthony Davis is a maniac. 30 points, 23 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Which, when you hear that too, what do you say to yourself when you see that line? Yeah, he's a great basketball player, sure. My goodness, he went for 30. 23 rebounds is crazy. 4 blocks, he probably, hampered 10 other shots along with those 4 blocks. But I see the 23 rebounds myself, and I go, oh man, nobody else in that game had to get any rebounds, right? Like, if I told you that I had a Kevon Looney prop, once again, that we had to get 13 rebounds, and say, hey, what was the rebounding like in that game? Well, Donnie, one guy had 23. I'm like, did anybody else get any rebounds in that game? Yeah. Kevon Looney got 23 rebounds also. Now, when has that happened? And I'm sure there's some, Twitter account or somebody that's, Elias Sports or whoever it would be, that puts out statistical details on some things. When's the last time you had two players on separate teams each go for 23 or more rebounds in a playoff game? That's insanity. It really is. But getting back to the game itself, I told you guys, I thought the Lakers would win their playing game. They did. They're already in, right? I also said that the Lakers are going to beat whoever they play in the first round, which turns out to be the Memphis Grizzlies, which just looks like that was the line that it was going to be. And I didn't think the Golden State Warriors would even be here at this point, to be honest with you. I thought it would be the Kings. But I thought the Lakers would have a legitimate chance before the playoffs and playing round even began to get to the Western Conference Finals. Now they're up 1-0 against the Golden State Warriors. AD played 44 minutes. LeBron James played 40 minutes. Austin Reeves actually played 39 minutes in that basketball game. That's pretty impressive. D'Angelo Russell, who wasn't all that effective from behind the three-point line at 1 for 5, Neither was LeBron James at 1 of 8. If you look at the team, like the final score again, Lakers 117, Golden State Warriors 112. The Los Angeles Lakers shot 24% from three-point range, which is bad. But they only shot 25 three-point shots. So if you do the math, and by the way, I'd never, but even though it sounds kind of easy, right? Like, oh yeah, it's about 6 or 7 threes. I probably would struggle with that. But having said that, they made 6 three-point shots. That's it. Now, if we flip it over in the opposite direction and go Golden State Warriors, I just told you, the Lakers made 6 three-point shots in that game against the Warriors. Steph Curry made 6 himself. Klay Thompson made 6 himself. Jordan Poole, he made 6 himself. By the way, what would that pay out? To go Poole, Thompson, and Curry all to make at least 6 three-point shots? Good Lord. You retire on that one? But Curry dropped 27, which was below his points prop. Klay Thompson got 25, which it was over his points prop. And I'm pretty sure Poole probably hit his points prop as well at 21. But that's 18 three-point shots between three players. The Golden State Warriors as a team made 21 three-point shots yesterday against the Los Angeles Lakers. That was good for 40%. So the Lakers shot minimum three-point shots at 25. The Golden State Warriors shot a lot of three-point shots at 53, and they made 40% of those, and they lost that basketball game. Now, I saw some people on Twitter, and usually if you're not paying attention to what basketball is actually all about, you would buy into this. But Donnie, did you see the foul discrepancy? The Lakers went to the line 29 times. They had 29 free throws. The Golden State Warriors had 6 free throws. That's not fair. That can't happen. Yes, it can. Why? Because one team will dribble drive to the basket, and instead of kicking out, will try to finish at the rim. That's what the Lakers do. That's why they shot 29 times, because they were trying to get to the rim, therefore getting fouls. The Golden State Warriors, who shot 53 three-point shots, were either shooting three-point shots, dribble driving, and kicking out for three-point shots. That's what happens. The Golden State Warriors actually had 106 shots in this game, the Lakers 92. That should be a major advantage. But I still can't get over the fact that if I would have said, again, one team is going to make 21 threes, the other 6, you would have thought the Golden State Warriors would actually have blown the doors off the Los Angeles Lakers. And that didn't happen. So the Lakers now got one on the road in Golden State. And Golden State, one of the best home teams in the NBA. Golden State is healthy. There's nobody suspended. That's the lineup you're going to get. Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney, Draymond Green. By the way, I was looking at Draymond Green and Jamichael Green at the same time. Got me a little bit confused right there. But yeah, Draymond played 34 minutes. Looney got 29 minutes. Wiggins got 34 minutes. And away they went. Didn't get a lot of bench up there from Green, Payton, or DiVincenzo. Poole was great up the bench. Moody only played 6 minutes here at a minus 2 and just had 1 rebound and 1 assist in that game. So their bench is going to have to play better. Typically, benches do play better at home. But, as we just talked about, 33-8 the Golden State Warriors were at home in the regular season. That's sensational. You're the Lakers. You just stole a game. And I thought yesterday, too, because I do think the Lakers are overall going to win this series. I do. But yesterday, I thought the Golden State Warriors were in a really good spot. I did think that. I thought they should be able to handle their business, get the win, and the cover. But I still would have taken the Lakers to win the round. And I actually wanted the Lakers to lose game one because I wanted to take the Los Angeles Lakers after they lost game one for an even better price. That's no longer the case. If we're looking right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Lakers-Warriors series, the Lakers are a minus 162 price. The Warriors now a dog at plus 136, and that's correct. Because the Lakers are about a 500 team on the road for the regular season. It doesn't surprise me that the Lakers went to Golden State, and again, they still have to play 2 games, only played 1, but already automatically are coming out ahead because they're going to regain now home court advantage because they won that road game. How does that line up at Crypto.com Arena, where the Lakers should be able to defend their home court advantage against a Golden State Warriors team that was absolutely abysmal on the road this year? They're in a really good spot. And let's be honest with ourselves, because I am putting, you know, a lot of stock in the Lakers continuing to be great here against the Warriors. Now, Joe and I talked today on the early line, and I got to be honest, we were both in the same boat. I said, I didn't even care. I didn't see the line, didn't care what the line was. Sight unseen, I'm taking the Golden State Warriors in game two. Sight unseen. And come to find out, that line, similar to what we were seeing in game one, opened up at 5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, now sitting at 5.5. There's a 6 at FoxBet. Our primary numbers, 5.5 across the board. Total, 227.5. I really do like the Warriors in this game. Because let's be honest. I mean, Warriors ain't going anywhere if they can't win game two. So you're telling me they're going to win 4 out of 5 against the Lakers if they start the series 0-2? That's going to be a tough pill to swallow. But that game 5.5 sight unseen again for myself, before I saw that, I really like the Warriors, and I still do. But it is kind of odd where you had a game with that type of discrepancy from the 3-point line still going the Lakers' direction. And yes, you could say the Lakers are playing with a little bit of house money, right? Like, ooh, we already got that game. We split 1-1 before the series started. You could have signed me up for that, and that's exactly what we would have agreed to and had a great time here. Yes, 1,000%. But at the same time, I still think the Lakers are going to get this done. I do. I don't think the Lakers win game two now, but I do think the Lakers could hold serve. The Lakers hold serve at home and go 3-1 back to Golden State. It's a wrap. It's over. Lakers going to the Western Conference Finals. And if they stay healthy, they could beat the Suns. Well, I don't think the Suns are going to get there now. Like, sometimes you just want to enjoy your wagers. And I sort of enjoyed my Phoenix Suns ticket round one. 4-1 gentleman sweep over the Los Angeles Clippers. Chris Paul goes down. Three games, 3, 4, and 5, he's probably not going to be in. I mean, I don't know how they even win a game, it seems like, at this point. I mean, what a KD. They have to play a full 48? Is that what they have to do? With KD and Booker? Who's stepping? They're already a team that can't afford injuries because they have zero bench. So now they're going to have to play again, as I said, 48 minutes for your two superstars. It's not going to work out well. So I'm already counting that ticket out right now. But I'm not going to cash it out. I want to see it ride out because all it takes sometimes is one game and maybe a fast healer. As we talked about Joel Embiid here, who was supposed to have a 4 to 6 week injury that looks like he's going to return a little bit over a week from said injury. We'll see, but also, keep an eye out there. Shams, Woj, the Sports Grid app. Keep your eyes peeled on what happens tonight with Joel Embiid. It's not going to be MVP Joel Embiid. You know, I don't think you're getting 41 minutes, 29 shot attempts, 36 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. I don't think you're getting that here. So keep an eye on that. But just to put a finishing touch there on the Lakers and the Warriors game, man, what do we need? What do we need in that game tomorrow night? We get fireworks, right? You got to figure Golden State coming out with their hair on fire in that one, no? Gotta be. But then again, if it was so easy, there wouldn't be casinos and sports books around anymore. And if you could just go ebbs and flows and zigzag your way to $1 million, they wouldn't allow you to bet anymore. And that's what's always the fun, to let it play out and watch. Quick segment coming up. We'll find out where JP is going. And then, hour number two in your phone calls. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before hour number two pops up. Right here on Moneyline on the Grid, Sirius XM channel 159. Your phone calls also. Hour number 2844-843-6879. But now we're going to find out where JP is going today. So let's start again where we always do, JP. What happened yesterday? What did we do?
Yeah, we took a shot on RJ to get that double-double before all the injury news came out. Didn't work out for us.
By the way, he had a decent scoring night. What did he have rebounds and assists?
I think it winded up being like 5-3, 4-3.
It wasn't even a sweat.
Close.
Yeah. Wasn't even a sweat at this one. All right, so we got Major League Baseball full card today. You got some hockey action, a doubleheader there on the ice. But we do have the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics live at 8 o'clock tonight. Is that where we're going tonight in the NBA?
How about a three-point prop in that game, Donnie?
Good. That's good because that's where you can start to dig in. Because you got a couple players in there that really make some sense tonight. They do. And also, it's kind of funny you say that, too, because even if Joel Embiid didn't play again, you're saying, I'm going three-point prop, like, I'm loving it here. But I don't know what we're getting out of Joel Embiid, or, quite honestly, if Joel Embiid is even going to play. We're going to handicap this game in hour number two, but if we're looking from a three-point prop percentage here, Tatum's at 3.5 at a plus 102, so they're juicing that up on you, too. They're not giving you that 2.5. They're saying he's going to have to make 4. Jaylen Brown at 2.5 plus 100. I like that as well because I have Jaylen Brown to make 2 or more three-point shots in my same-game parlay part of that, which I'll give out at the top of the hour. Marcus Smart, 1.5. Al Horford, 1.5. Derek White, 1.5. Malcolm Brogdon, 1.5. Tyrese Maxey, 2.5 at a minus 136 price. James Harden at 2.5. Tobias Harris at 1.5. And Joel Embiid at minus 142 just to make 1 3-point shot. Because I don't want to say the bait and switch on this one, right? Like James Harden, you look at that, like, hold on now. 2.5. It's the most square play on the board, and I don't even care if it is. Now, who's not taking James Harden to knock down 3 triples tonight at a minus 130 price? Maybe JP is, maybe he is not. But we're going to find out in hour number 2. We have a lot of baseball to talk about, the game tonight in the NBA, hot topics, and more. Keep the dial right here, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book 4 nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to CheapCaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.